Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Whether you're gifting, decorating, or treating yourself, Lowe's December Deal Drops are here to help you save more all month long. Get up to 50% off select holiday decor. Plus, get up to 45% off select tools and accessories. Shop new December Deal Drops every week this month and get so much more out of your holidays. Lowe's, we help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
So here's a weird fucking moment where it occurred to me that at this point in the movie, Emma is telling Julia the story of Joey telling her the story of Moroni telling him the story of Nephi carving out the story of the Book of Mormon. And I'm currently telling the listeners about that, right?
Yeah,
so this is deep. We're deep now.
And that whole thing, the movie is like, oh, we're winning right now.
Yes.
We're establishing a clear trail of evidence on this. Yeah.
God awful movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema because I'm pretty sure that technically makes us a true crime podcast, and those are popular. I'm your host, No Illusions, and sitting 700 miles to my immediate left is my good friend Heath Enright. Heath, welcome back.
Mormon Movie Month capper. Let's do it.
Possibly.
Oh, well, relax. It's Mormon stuff.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
Acoustic.
Yeah, there you go.
For fuck's sake.
I want 500 versions to sing this intro screen in an air where it doesn't count.
And that voice comes from 900 miles to my northeast and belongs to my bad friend, Eli Bosnick. Eli, how are you this fine afternoon, sir?
I don't think the members of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir have to be virgins. I don't know. I made the versions in my bed.
They're virgins. Come on.
If you fucked a member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Or Donnie and Marie.
Right, man.
So tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
We watched Emma Smith, My Story. It's the story of Catholic God, I'm pretty sure, getting mad about Joseph Smith starting a cult.
Oh, interesting.
And then that God proceeding to murder everyone in his family one by one for 90 straight minutes. And nobody takes the hint that like,
nobody takes the
hint. Stop being a cult, man. I kill so many of your family.
It's like a fucking horror movie. Yeah, right.
Yes. But the killer is Emma Smith's womb.
And Eli, how bad was this movie?
Well, if you love the Joseph Smith pseudo history, we get every single Mormon movie month. And I know you do, podcast listener, but you wish we got more movies about what a great husband Bill Clinton was. You will love this movie. Okay, so I just want to sort of get... No, you know what? I'll save it for my best words. Okay, I'm going to save it for my best words.
All right, yep. We got that coming around too. So, Heath, is there anything you would like to nominate this one for being the best to be the worst at first?
Yeah, I'm going to go with best worst failing the Bechdel test.
Right.
So again, the title of the movie is... Emma Smith, My Story. And it's the story of Joseph Smith.
Yes.
Told by one of his like 40 wives.
Well, the entire movie is framed as Emma talking to her adult daughter, Julia, And still, I don't think it ever passes the goddamn Bechdel test.
It manages to fail. They have a narration scenario outside of the universe where it's supposed to be just two women talking. And they fail. Yes, they do.
If one of them had called a timeout to take a shit, it would pass the Bechdel test, but no.
So, all right. So I was going to go with Best Worst P&L. According to IMDb, this movie made $881,000 on a $5 million budget. The opening weekend was under $100,000. And by the way, that doesn't represent a failure, right? That represents how much money the Mormon Church has decided it is worth to have this bullshit version of their history on film somewhere, right? Yeah. It was worth $4.1 million to them.
They can afford it. That's a tiny
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, right.
They get
right.
an absolute. It's so funny because whenever we do a Mormon movie month, someone will be like, oh, they must be running out of Mormon movies by now. Podcast listener, we could do a whole other podcast
yes.
of Mormon movies. Now, we would lose Heath Enright to the demon that is suicide on week three. So I could barely keep him in for 2 out of the 5 weeks in a month. It's not a good idea for company cohesion to do Mormon Movie Month, the podcast, but just know the material.
Yeah, no, it's not because we're running out of films.
I'm going to go with best worst. Are they going to talk about it? Because look, even in the modern sense of Joseph Smith, which is that he was like kind of a flawed prophet who wasn't perfect and made some mistakes, nobody in the Mormon church says Joseph Smith was a good husband.
Right.
The only thing he is more than a bad husband is a liar, right? It is just provably, demonstrably that he is one of the worst husbands in history, and most of the incredibly well-maintained communications between Emma Smith and Joseph Smith are, "Dear Joe, God, you fucking suck. Love, Emma." So to make the Bill Clinton joke is actually not apropos. He is a significantly worse husband than Bill Clinton. And I'm counting what we know about the Epstein files.
Oh, my God. The thing is that when you wrote, are they going to talk about it? There was like 31 things you could have meant by that, right? Over and over again in this movie, because I know the history, I'm going like, oh, the movie's not going to mention why they're doing that, why they're running from that state, why they're upset at that bank. Nothing. Yeah.
Because the movie has to spend the whole time skipping the Joseph Smith files every time they come up in the plot of the movie.
Right. Pam Bondi dives in front of him like Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. We were just about to start the breakdown, but then you doubted us, so it sank further into the podcast. So now we have to do an ad instead. It's your fault. Hey, podcast listener, do you love god-awful movies?
Do you wish there was more of it?
Like 100 episodes more?
Well, you're in luck, because for as little as a buck a show, you can get access to over 100 patron bonus episodes of secular movies like The Core, Pixels, Star Wars Episode 1, and much, much more.
Just head over to patreon.com/godawful, give us as little as a dollar a show, and start listening to hundreds of hours of bonus content right away.
That's patreon.com/godawful.
Patreon. You want more podcast? You can have more podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the first ever Writer's Room meeting for our Emma Smith biopic.
Woo-hoo! I am so excited to tell the story of the First Lady of Mormonism.
Right? She endured so much.
Exactly. Like how at first her father didn't approve of Joseph.
Well, her father never approved of Joseph.
Well, I'm sure he does now, like, you know, in heaven.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we could talk about the Mormons being driven out of New York and Ohio and Missouri and Illinois.
Right. Yep. Right. For no reason, though.
For no reason. We're going to say it was for no reason.
Well, it's, you know, because, you know, people hated them.
Right. Right. But why are we saying people hated them?
No reason.
I feel like that's what I said.
Okay, but what about the revelation of plural marriage? That was like a really huge part of Emma's life.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't really get around that one, can we?
No, we cannot.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Let's dedicate 2 sentences to how hard it was for Emma when he married other women.
And children.
The children, those were just spiritual marriages.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't. And we're back for the breakdown. And we're going to open up on production companies that cancel out. Candlelight Productions and Morning Dew Pictures. That's a fizzle. And hey, you know what it is. So yeah, so this is a movie brought to us by the Joseph Smith Jr. and Emma Hale Smith Historical Society. Yeah, in case you're wondering about the objectivity we're going to get.
Hey, if you're ever having a bad day at your job, imagine what it's like to grow up loving history your whole life, thinking maybe I want to become a historian, and then becoming a professional liar for another bad dude's marriage for your whole life.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. It's funny that like a Mormon movie is going to open up with a quote about how when you're kids, you don't see things how they really are. But then when you grow up, you do.
Kids believe in insane, weird lies. Enjoy our Mormon movie about what we say at our historical society, yes, named after famous Mormons.
About the revelation that Joseph Smith had at 14. Yeah, exactly. So we get our VO, and there's going to be like a kind of a competing narration thing here, because we're going to get narration from old Emma Smith, but also from her adult daughter, Julia.
Yes. And we get a narration from her adult daughter, Julia. I'm going to say 15 minutes before who the fuck she is introduced to the movie. So I was very impressed by that.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm not Emma Smith, but who am I, Batman? Follow my riddles and you may someday see.
Yeah.
I'm literally sitting there looking at a genealogical tree going, okay, well, if they're counting the adopted kids, this could be Julia, or maybe one of the sons has a high-pitched voice.
Yeah, they're really actually pretty smart. They had me Googling and looking. I learned who Julia Murdoch-Smith is, and I learned, like, who Louis Biedemann is and some, like, weird details about all of them. Yep.
Yeah, well,
it's a good play if that's what they're going for.
And that's the thing we always have to keep in mind when you're watching these Mormon movies is that this is Marvel movies for Kara, right? Like, she just had, like, no idea. Like, to them, they're like, oh, fuck, it's Julia! Holy shit! Whoa! I love her fucking, the thing she does with the cards. So, but she goes, she's like, you know, mom could sense that dad was going to die in jail. And I'm like, everyone who ever met that man could sense he was eventually going to die in jail.
Joe Smith was about to get killed by a mob like every day of his adult life.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So close every day. Everybody knew.
Yeah. So, but she's like, you know, but when he died, my mom was left as a widow with five children. And that's when Louis Biedemann cozied up to her, the son of a bitch. I guess he stepped out on Emma and left her with another kid from his side piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the side piece was kind of like stupid or whatever, couldn't handle it, and had to give the kid to Emma to take over.
Yes.
So the side piece was Nancy Abercrombie, I believe, again, in my weird Googling. And Nancy Abercrombie, maybe not a great mom, but smart enough to smudge up the little boy for extra sympathy,
really, and then bring the kid over to Emma.
Right? Just squeezed him through a couple of fucking chimneys on his way. Yeah, he comes in there looking like a pig pen in Charlie Brown or whatever.
And the movie really plays to us that Emma Smith had no previous experience with her husband's cheating on her. So
yes,
this
right.
Really...
No, exactly. Totally new territory for her. But she took in the kid. She took in her husband's love child. And she was so saintly that she hired that kid's mom to work at her hotel.
Wow.
Okay. That feels more like a spite hire really good person thing. That was like, all right, and now you watch me raise your fucking child, you piece of shit.
And the thing is that like this was after Joseph Smith died and like the city of Nauvoo had pretty much emptied out and she owned almost the whole city. Like, so she could have just given the lady a place to stay, but she's like, no, you work for me now.
Like, I get it, but like, let's just be honest. That was spite. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the title. It says Emma Smith, My Story. And Julia, the voiceover, goes, you know, my mother was always taking in strays. I was one of them. And this is where we sort of get the framing of the movie, right? So the Julia, the voiceover lady, has come back to take care of mom in her dotage after her second marriage fell apart.
Right.
And they're going to like sit there and reminisce about their lives together with no connective tissue other than that's what happens next in the movie.
In a podcast narration studio.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. All they need is the can headphones and everything's complete. Now, again, if you know anything about Smith family drama, you also understand that having Julia be like the doting companion to Emma is a little like if you did a documentary about the Menendez parents and the narrator was one of the Menendez brothers. This is a person who tried to escape her family into a different religion twice.
Twice. Yeah, but you'll never know that from this movie. Also, like, this is where we introduce the fact that old Emma will speak only in wisdom nuggets.
Yes, yeah. I wrote, Mom speaks entirely in slogans from the back of a bag of chocolate chips.
Yeah. Yeah. But a couple times she fucks it up. Like right here, she's like, lilacs are beautiful, just like dying people.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, all right, Mom, like you fucked up that Toll House one.
You ever see a sign at the Cracker Barrel and you wonder, who the fuck wants that in their house? Emma Smith. Emma Smith is who wants it. That in her house, apparently.
And she's going to tell us that. So, yeah. But ultimately, like, she flashes. We flashback, right? We fall into our first flashback, which is Pennsylvania in 1813. Now, this is long before she met Joseph Smith. There's a legend amongst Mormons that her dad was straying from the faith when she was a little kid. So she prayed to God to give him faith again, and then he came back to the religion. So we're going to see that play out.
One of those famous atheist pioneers of the 1800s.
Yes, right. Of 1813 America. Yeah. But yeah, so but we start this off with him going like, there'll be no prayer in my house, little seven-year-old girl. Damn it. God does not intervene in our lives and is in fact.
Going to slap that Bible out of your hand. This is 1813 Pennsylvania, motherfucker. We are atheists. Also, you have to make a swastika cake for a Nazi. You have to.
That's how we are. So, yeah, but Dad overhears her praying, and that's enough to change him back into the religion he was born into and almost certainly was his entire life, right? Because God listened to her prayer. And then we speed cut to grown-up Emma meeting Joseph Smith. Now, obviously, they're going to revise a lot of Joseph Smith's history. That's the whole point of the movie. But one of the most important revisions that they want to make here is that Joseph Smith was a hard-working guy that was always working real hard, right? So every time we see him, he's like covered in sweat from a hard day's work. Joseph Smith never did a hard day's work in his fucking life, right? That was his defining characteristic. But we see him, he's holding the shovel.
And here's the best part, because the way they actually met, right? Because we assume that he was hard at work in the potato fields. The way they actually met is he was doing his treasure con on her dad's property when he met Emma.
Yes.
That's why he has the shovel. He's had a hard day of going, nah, you doubted me, and there's no more.
It slipped treasure further down. But here's the thing, too, is that he didn't actually do the digging, right? He was the guy who looked at the magic rock and told him where the treasure was going to be. His buddies did the digging. So even that is overselling what a piece of shit he was.
Yeah, he should have just been holding a clipboard instead.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so but we learn here that her dad did not approve of her budding romance with this obvious con artist, right? Because like at this point, like he had conned her dad into a place to stay for like however many weeks they could pull off the no, it's down here somewhere act. And then he had moved on to another farm, right? Once his dad sent Joseph Smith packing, he moved on to a different farm and started running the same con. That's when this part of the movie is set.
Yes.
So, but of course, we get a falling in love montage that is just damn near every falling in love cliche alphabetically.
She outskips him in stones. I want him to start hitting her.
Don't know.
Hey, the prophet of Mormonism, really bad at skipping stones.
Really bad.
Yeah. I guess it's not a huge deal, but like he's coming in way too high at the end. Like you got to get low.
Yes, obviously.
He gets two hops. You accidentally get two hops.
Right, right. But yeah, so she outskips him. She outplays him in chess because he's an idiot. Like, I mean, you know, maybe Emma's real, real smart, but also he's an idiot. So.
Hey, the prophet of Mormonism, not good at chess either. I think that's a little worse.
Yeah, right.
Really wanted a flash cut to God being like, what are you doing, man? Protect your bishop.
So yeah, but then they have a snowball fight and they learn to dance and blah, blah, blah. More love. They ride horses together. She's also better at that than he is. He pushes her on a swing.
Yeah. And I got to say, Emma Smith for, what is this, 1813-ish Pennsylvania? Oh, no, we're a little bit further ahead. Sorry, like 1820-something Pennsylvania.
Yeah. God, Heath, keep up.
Yeah, all right, no, I'm with it. I'm with it. She spends a lot of time on a very well-coiffed, like, hair helmet thing she's got going on.
Yes!
All the time.
Yeah, no.
She looks like the Predator was, like, a judge in England all at the same time.
Well, what's funny is because there's like three fucking pictures of her and she has her hair like that and all the pictures. So they're like, she always wore her hair like that, even to ride horses, you know?
Always looked like a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yes, right, right. So, okay, but that montage ends with them. She's like, he's helping her spool thread and she's talking about how her dad still doesn't approve and, you know, he won't let her marry him.
I get like, it's tough when your job is podcaster.
Yeah, right, yeah.
When you're talking to dad about something like that, be like, I'm going to be an eventual cult leader, gold ghost finder, dig guy. Not great for talking to dad.
Well, after I'm dead, they'll have billions. It's crazy how much money they'll have. But yeah, but they ultimately decide, fuck dad's approval. They're just going to get married anyway.
Yes, they get married without her dad's permission. And look, I know through like a modern feminist lens, fuck it, marry whoever you want. But that was also an incredibly shameful thing at the time. So it speaks to the revisionism of this movie that Mormons have already settled on. But she was just one of those 1800s feminists, yeah, you right, know, who didn't right, like yeah. to be told what to do.
Yeah. Also, we should probably point out that because so little happens in this movie that we haven't talked about on the show before, the closed captioning is so weirdly lazy in this movie. At this point, the older Emma comes up in narration and she says, when you're in love, you come to rely on each other. And that's translated in the closed captioning as, when you're in love, you come to be inaudible. So, well done, guys. Okay, so now we're going to jump ahead to 1827. We're in New York. They're sitting around, Emma and Joseph are sitting around the Smith family table talking about how much physical labor Joseph Smith always does and the family in general.
Known he for sure is hard working.
Work. Yeah.
What, darling, is that the sweat of your brow? I see. Yeah. Why, yes, it is.
Yeah, right.
You're a feminist.
I was just fixing my bootstraps.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they get done eating and he goes like, let's go do more chores, us hardworking Smiths that always work hard. So they go to leave. But on the way out, dad stops to tell Emma how hot she is or whatever. But in a nice way. He's like, you know, my son did good and married a hot chick. So, and then once all the men leave, there's a moment here where Emma sits there talking to Joey's mom about Joey, obviously, lest we pass the Bechdel test.
No, that was crazy.
But mom explains that, like, you know, the family's fractured by not all having the same religious beliefs. And she turns to Emma and she says, but, you know, I keep praying that we'll all find one faith and I know God will answer my prayers one of these days. Now, what we're supposed to see is, well, yes, Mormonism will be the fulfillment of that promise. But the reality of it is that there's like a 90-year-old lady going, one of these days, God will listen to me. And that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Also, to be clear, the religion they're going to settle on is Joseph's Con.
Yes, right. Uh-huh.
Because lest we forget our history, the Smiths, the family, were a family of con people.
Yes.
Right? They're the fucking Lies of Loch Lamora of 1800s upstate New York. And the reason they didn't get along is that his family were like, that's a bad con, Joe. We should just keep doing the treasure one. And he was like, I'm telling you guys, we're going to have $1 trillion in Utah.
Right. But like at this moment, all he's got is I'm digging up a gold trapper keeper at some point eventually. Yes. And it hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
So, and then we back out of the flashback long enough for like Emma, like old Emma, she makes a point about the power of prayer and how prayer fixes everything. And Julia's like, hey, you know, my life sucks right now. So if God could fix it, he's being a real dick about it. But Emma's like, well, no, it's God's fault when it's good. When it's bad, it's your fault though.
You know when a child doesn't want to be held? And she's like, yeah, real pain in the ass. And she's like, that's you.
You're like that
for God. So, a little problematic pumpkin inside a problematic pumpkin. Yeah. That was impressive.
So meanwhile, in the flashback, Joey's telling Emma about when his brother Alvin died. And I guess the minister said he was going to go to hell because he wasn't baptized.
Yeah. So One thing that we should point out, and if there is like an overarching theme of this movie, it is that a lot of people credit Emma for influencing Joseph. Well, sorry. A lot of people credit Emma for influencing God, who eventually spoke to Joseph about the idea of eternal families. So they're planting the seeds of that here, right?
Yes.
Which is the like, well, I just can't imagine God would ever make us go to heaven without our families, which we should point out in the early 20th century was one of the major appealing things about Mormonism is that you got a forever family.
Right, right. So yeah, but they talk about that and he takes her out to the spot like in the woods where he originally met Jesus and God, right? When he was a 14-year-old who was supposed to be doing his chores at the time. And like Julia, like as the voice of the viewer, I guess, comes in, like the older Julia comes in out of the flashback talking over it and goes like, hey, maybe Dad, who was 14 at the time, like didn't really meet God and Jesus in a forest clearing while he was supposed to be doing his chores. Maybe he was lying or mistaken. And Emma's like, shut up. No, it was true.
Julia keeps doing that, jumping in and being like, I think you were all lying to me like so much. And Emma has to be like, we're doing a Mormon movie. Shut up. He had truthy eyes. Fuck you.
Right, right. You didn't look in his eyes and see how truthful they were. Shut up.
Julia, get out of the podcast.
Right. Yeah, I really wanted Julia Heckles to continue throughout the movie. Like, he's lifting up the plates and Julia's just like, 200 pounds.
Yes, right.
At least 200 pounds.
Right, well, so here's a weird fucking moment where it occurred to me that at this point in the movie, Emma is telling Julia the story of Joey telling her the story of Moroni telling him the story of Nephi carving out the story of the Book of Mormon. And I'm currently telling the listeners about that, right?
Yeah,
this is deep. We're deep now.
And that whole thing, the movie is like, oh, we're winning right now. Yes. We're establishing a clear trail of evidence on this. Yeah.
Can I also say what's so obvious from this movie is that Emma wasn't part of the con? And there's a little bit of sadness to that.
A little.
Because when you read between the lines of like the Smith family, you can see the moments where like the brothers were playing along. And then like, here's this person started playing along. And then this guy gets in the con. And Emma's just sitting at the bottom of the hill while Joseph pretends to dig up golden plates, being like, hope he's warm up there with his real golden plates that I actually believe he has right now.
Right, right. So yeah, so we see that. We see a brief shot of him carrying the 200-pound golden plates under one arm around or whatever.
Swinging them.
It's the best. In the narration, you get Julia being like, wait. Mom, you were there when he found the golden plates? And Mom has to be like, I saw them. Right, he let me shuffle, and then I saw the golden plates after that.
Through his pants.
The show is called The Scathing Atheist, but we're all equal.
How could he do that if he let me shuffle? It doesn't make sense otherwise. It's real.
I get to rate the ads.
I also love that there's like, as she's like waiting for him to show up with the gold plates, you can hear like these like demon voices in the woods going, he's not a prophet. It's all bullshit. You know, so that the viewer who's thinking that is like, oh, that's the devil whispering to me in my head, right?
Turns around, it's her dad. Dad! Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought I'd come for a visit.
Her dad hating Joe is the best.
He's the hero of the rule so much
throughout.
They try to soft play it, but her dad hated Joe every second forever of his entire life. And you got a
great dad.
His dying wish was fuck Joe. Like that was his like his dying words were like, also Joseph Smith is a piece of shit. He's a fucking lying con artist.
You're converting to the religion of that novel he's working on? That's nothing. He doesn't have anything yet.
So then we cut to the fucking ruffians that are planning to pre-persecute Joseph. There's even a shot where like there's a guy like lifting a gun to shoot Joseph from like 8.5 feet away. And another guy puts his hand on it and goes, not yet.
Smoke bomb.
Yeah, right. So, but then we see a pitchfork mob coming after his golden plates, but they cleverly hid them in a barrel. Nobody thought of that. We get Isaac yelling at Emma. And this is a big theme of this movie as well, right? Because this movie will never admit why anybody hated Joseph Smith, why people hated the Mormons, why Isaac Hale, Emma's dad, didn't like Joseph, right? So in this moment, what we hear him say is, you married a dreamer, Emma. And I'm like, I don't think that was his issue with the guy.
I don't think his issue was dreams.
I think that word was a harsher language word in reality. Literally, if anything similar happened.
Convicted con man.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But then, and he also points out, he's like, also, and your husband is too stupid to read a book. How the fuck is he going to translate a golden Bible? And the voiceover's like, he was, though. He was too stupid to read a book.
That actually proves that it's magic, because he was that stupid. Yeah. But somehow,
how could anyone,
the gift of God,
write something as beautiful as the Book of Mormon?
Alma? Are you kidding
Unless
me?
Unless they had the gift of Shakespeare himself.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. So, but, and then we start seeing the part where, like, Martin Harris is like acting as his scribe. And this movie never shows the fact that Martin Harris can't see the plates.
No.
Right? Like, eventually, later on in the movie, when she's scribing, they'll show that. But at this point in the movie, they leave out the fact that Martin Harris wasn't allowed to see what Joseph was looking at the time. Because, of course, that's an 8-year-old lie. Like, that's the kind of lie an 8-year-old would tell you. And an 8-year-old would be able to call bullshit on it. So the movie doesn't want to show you that yet.
Yeah, and a Mormon apologist will argue that Joseph didn't have his face in a hat for the entire translation, which is true. A lot of the time there was a curtain, but he had his face in a hat for some of the translation.
Most of it, yes.
I would have depicted it in my movie, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Like, just to be clear, if your argument is our prophet didn't have his face in a hat the whole time.
The whole time.
You're starting in a bad, you're
That's
done.
A very weak starting position, yes. So, okay, so then we get Joey. Emma's pregnant, so Joey's singing and doting on her as he did as such a wonderful husband. But then there's rain and bad music, which means that the baby doesn't make it, right?
Yeah.
And she has to come up at this point, and she's like, yeah, you know, for somebody specially favored by God, he killed a lot of our babies, like a lot.
He really killed a ton of our babies.
And I guess since we're at rock bottom anyway, this is also the point in the movie, and this is one of the, like, Eli, you know, are they going to mention it moments, are they going to talk about it moments, right, where they start talking about how Martin wanted proof to show his wife of the golden Bible's power. And so against God's wishes, Joseph let Martin take the pages to show them to his wife and then lost the pages. Now, of course, again, if you've been listening to our show for a while, you know what really happened is Martin's wife stole them and said, regenerate one fucking page from this and I'll believe it. And Joseph couldn't do that because he was making it up as he went along, right? That's what really happened. This movie won't admit that and just says, oh, Martin lost it. He spilled out of his car near the river.
Yeah, they don't even admit that they eventually got the pages back.
Did they get the pages back?
Yeah, no, she gives the pages back. And that's when Joseph is like, well, now we have to tell a different Nephites version of the story.
Yeah, I thought it was because he couldn't reproduce them.
Right. I think the Mormon story on this is somebody's like, okay, well, you could just translate that again, right? Like, I guess the scribe would have said that to Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph was like, yeah, no, totally. Hold on. Bring, did you hear that? I got another call from God. Just give me a second. He said, scrap Lehi. I'm going to do like Nephi and Omni now instead.
Yes.
It's important.
Right.
So, yeah, it's cool. It's fine that we lost.
Right. I'm going to write completely different shit.
Slightly different. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because God's mad at me for letting you take the pages. Yeah. So, but again, like, it doesn't even make sense within this movie because the movie doesn't want to get into all of that shit because that makes it so obvious that it's a fucking lie. So the movie's just like, he's lost the pages. And then, like, us, the viewer, are like, well, yeah, but you're translating. What was that, a week of work if you're hustling? 116 pages, writing it out, you know? But yeah, but, you know, of course, they're devastated. And so Emma prays like she's never prayed before. Joey goes to do very hard physical labor, which he was known for doing a lot of, damn it. They have this moment where, like, she comes out to the garden and she's like, you've been working straight for 93 hours as you so often do. Please at least take a drink of water. He's like, don't want a drink of water. I want to work hard like I always do.
No, I'm too tireless and fastidious and hardworking.
I'm too penitent and, yeah, right.
And everyone hates me for no reason. Yeah. And I have a normal relationship with social media. And it's actually, if you think about it, it's Twitter's fault. I had to quit. Twitter was bad. I remained good and had chill time.
But Emma comes out. She gives him some Bible wisdom, and he learns the important lesson to always listen to the voices in his head, right? He'll never doubt those again. But eventually, so God forgives him and lets him start translating different pages, right? But now Emma is his scribe because fuck Martin and fuck his wife. They're bullshit.
Also, Joseph can't translate or pee when you're looking. So we get to see the curtain between the plates and him and Emma as the scribe on the other side of the table.
Well, and this is a moment where like they try to pretend that his ignorance proves he's being truthful, right? Because there's this moment where he's talking about the walls outside of Jerusalem and he stops and he looks over at Emma and he goes, wait a minute, was Jerusalem a walled city? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. And we're supposed to be like, oh, wow, he's learning from the book he's translating. So he can't be making it up. But like most large cities at the time were walled. That would be like guessing somebody's right-handed. You know, you wouldn't like.
Also, you just lied about what you're using. Was it a red card? No. Okay. Yeah. And I knew it was a black card. Right, yes.
So, there's another moment where they try to do the same thing. He's like, well, I don't know how to pronounce this name, so I'm just going to spell it out. But like, this was supposed to be written in hieroglyphs. It's not a phonetic alphabet. You can't spell out something written in, it says owl, snake, upward snake. I mean, come on. Yeah. The fuck now, are you talking about?
To be clear, I would have loved if the name he was spelling out in that case was Anti-Nephi Lehi.
Yeah, right.
Emma's just like, hey, check again.
Yes.
Yeah, no, check again.
But and then of course, as he's doing that, like we get old Emma's voiceover going, I never doubted him even a little bit. We sort of half-ass introduce Oliver Cowdery as his other scribe now at this point.
And that she didn't get to see the plates.
Yeah, she was very upset about that.
Oh, this was the best. Because Emma's like, yeah, so Joey, I was the scribe. I was definitely going to be allowed to see the plates. And then the movie has to be like, fuck, no, he was a dick about it. And then we find out that he let some other lady in town, Mary Whitmer, see the plates. And Emma's furious, which I get it.
Okay, it is actually the only story that is funnier than that. So this is Mary Whitmer, and the Exmos in our audience will know how this story works. So he was conning the Whitmers, and of course, one of the Whitmers, if not both of the Whitmers, are two of the three witnesses, not the eight, not to be confused with the eight witnesses. That
right,
that
just
later.
Felt the place through their pants.
Right, yeah. That were just like, yeah, no, it's there. I bet you. I sure fucking bet. The three witnesses, so one of them was a Whitmer. Mary is their mom. And Mary walks into the house. This is the real story. Mary walks into the house one day and goes, hey, I was just outside and there was an old man who turns out to be the angel Moroni and I saw the plates. And that is how Mary Whitmer saw them. She fucking improv gamed her way into Mormonism.
And forced them to yes and her yes and. Yes. And they had to be like, yes and, Mary's in the fucking book now.
Because they can't just go like, oh, bullshit, Mary.
She Heath catching me in a lied her way into Mormon history.
Yep.
So oh yeah, good. The text message didn't say, but it would be on your side of the phone, right?
No.
But this movie from the perspective of Emma plays it as Mary being this like young hot woman in
the
town.
Whore that got
and Emma's
to
like,
see
you
those...
let Mary? Yes. See, that bitch Mary got to see the plates. How was it? Joseph, does she look at the plates better than me? You don't even know how I look at the plates.
She asked how big it was when the plates were hard. And I just wanted to...
But think about what a prick, like just stop for a second and think about what a prick you'd have to be to do this to your wife as well, right? Like your wife is devastated that she didn't get to see the plates while somebody else did. And you don't at any point go, come on, there's no fucking plates, lady. You know, like, Jesus.
That's the thing. There's a thing inside Joseph Smith's head that you have to empathize with where he must have been up some nights being like, practicing being like, Mary, it's all fake. But if you play along, you can say that I shoved a plate inside you, but you gotta be, she's not gonna be cool. She's not gonna be cool. I can't talk to her about it.
All right. Well, this movie seems entirely unaware of how unspeakably cruel all this shit is when you know that Joseph Smith is lying. So we need a minute to process that. But we'll be back after that with even more of Emma Smith, My Story.
And then I said, the treasure will be here soon.
Wow, Joseph, that's amazing.
Hello, boys. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you, Mrs. Whitmer.
Thanks, Mom. We're good.
Okay, well, good luck on your little book. I'm a firm believer now that I've seen the plates.
Sorry, Mary, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went out to milk the cows and I was approached by the angel Moroni. He said, Mary, you have been waiting so long and you've been so faithful that I'm going to show you the plates. And then he did.
He showed you the plates.
Really? Really? What did they look like?
Golden plates with ancient writing on them.
What kind of ancient writing?
Oh, are we locking down what the writing on the plates look like?
No. Ancient is fine.
Right. So, you know, just when you're listing the witnesses, quick reminder that I saw the plates too. Wouldn't want to leave me out because then people might think that I was lying about seeing the plates. And right. There weren't any.
Well, what a miraculous moment for Mormonism this is.
Yes. Yes. Miraculous indeed.
This is actually what happened in Mormon history.
Yep. Sure is.
Uh-huh.
Such fucking nonsense. And we're back for more of this shit. And we're going to rejoin the action with Isaac telling Emma what a transparent con artist Joseph is some more.
He's the fucking best.
So you haven't even seen the fucking plates?
I wanted him to like start talking to Julia in the flash forward flashback universes.
You get it.
She
right?
gets you, it, right? This future woman gets it.
I don't look at the fucking plates. I tell you that right now.
Thank well, you, yeah. Julia.
Yeah. So Julia's like, come on, mom. You never peeked. And so she's like, no, I never peeked to look at the plates. I did lift. It was heavy. I lifted it. I felt them through the cloth a couple of times, but no, I trusted him. I'm like, well, then why did you lift it and feel it through the cloth? But okay. Yeah, yeah.
Julia, get out of the fucking narration room.
But then, okay, so back in the flashback, Joey brings home the first copy of the Book of Mormon, right? And I just, fun fact, when they brought the Book of Mormon to the printer, they were like, this is the divine word of God, don't change anything. And he's like, do you want me to fix the atrocious spelling and punctuation at least? And they were like, well, fuck, let me ask. I'll find out and I'll get back to you.
God says that actually that comma's optional.
Yeah, so it doesn't but really yes, no strict rules, it, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll run it through the Eli filter.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
Red Squiggle.
So, but then we see like this, like montage, and this is, of course, this is part of Mormon movie bingo, right? Where like people are reading the Book of Mormon and just wowed by its brilliance. So apparently he gave Emma her copy. She read it cover to cover while standing up in the woods. Yeah. This is a weird choice.
It was the first copy. It was like one copy. I wanted her to just grab the book and like tear out 116 pages and like dive into a pond or something.
Well, I can reproduce those ones though. But yeah, but she reads it and she loves it. And then we get Joey telling a room full of people that if they each recruit five people who recruit five people below them,
it's free money.
Then, yeah, right. You can just sit back. So, but yeah, we watch some people get baptized. Joey baptizes his dad, right? Mm-hmm. Papa Smith gets baptized.
And that feels, I bet the Smiths, when their dad agreed to be in on the scam, that probably feels like me and Heath feel when we've been doing an unfunny bit for 11 minutes and Noah acknowledges it and we know it's going to make it into the edit, right? It's like, I can't row this boat through the syrup anymore. Neither can I. Yay! I made it in the podcast. We're our own religion now.
So.
And then we're like, syrup, syrup, syrup. You can't cut syrup, it. Syrup, syrup.
Yeah, right, right. And so, and then we get, and this is another one of those Marvel movie moments, right? We get the elect lady revelation. So at a certain point after the church was all started, Emma was like, oh, you know, wow, like doesn't seem like God's given me much to do. It'd be a shame if I was upset and told everybody about, you know, what happened when I looked under the cloth. And he's like, oh, you know what? God just decided that there is a you. Are an elect lady. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Everyone was like, that bitch fucking Mary, yes, handed her way into the book array. This is bullshit. I'm the elect lady. What does that mean? Did you write it down?
Yeah.
And Joseph is like, yeah, that's you, babe. That's totally, you're the elect. You're the only wife for me forever. That's right. Elect.
Yes.
Lady.
Elect lady. She's asking, she's like, what does that mean? He's like, well, it means
You have to stop with all your back sass. That's literally in the revelation, by the way, that she couldn't talk back to him anymore. It's such transparent bullshit. It's insane.
You have to read it. I really recommend reading the entire, because if you sent it to your wife, she'd be like, hey, hon, what?
Hey, fuck you, though.
It's also so clear that he was like, and it's all the things that I think you're good at. You could sing the hymns.
Yep, you get to write the hymns, huh? But no, that's pretty good.
No keeping the money. You're being weird.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You sign this NDA and you're in the book.
It's really your church. It's just my name on the deeds and everything. She's pregnant again. We learned that here. She thinks maybe she's got twins in there this time. They die too, though.
They also die.
Yeah. But not yet.
She's like one of Elon Musk's like brood mares. It's terrifying how similar that is.
Yeah. So, but then we get her singing pregnantly out the window, you know, just thinking about her husband and all his wisdom. And now they're moving to Ohio. No reason.
Sometimes it's just nice there.
You just want to change of air.
Cleveland live show was lovely.
Maybe it was. It was like very friendly city. Friendlier
nice
than
to
I expected.
See everybody.
Yeah. So
Rock City.
Nope. But her dad still doesn't. We learn that her dad still doesn't approve of Joseph Smith. There's this moment where like she tries to give her mom a copy of the Book of Mormon, and her mom's like, "Oh, you know, I would love to read that. I have to wash my hair.
I can't.
It's not. The dad would not allow it. He would never allow it.
You know how much your dad cares about religion, a topic we've already covered in this movie. That's why I can't read your boyfriend's novel.
So she's like, this will be your last chance to be a Mormon. She's like, oh, no. And then she leaves. And the VO comes over and goes, I never saw my parents again. I'm like, oh my God, that's so fucked up. But okay, so now we arrive in Ohio. It's 1831. Emma gives birth to the twins. They die. I can't tell if this midwife actress is just phoning it in or if she can tell that the twins aren't going to make it and she's really kind of wasting her time there. I don't know.
Also, this is when Emma is baptized, and I'm so mad that we didn't get to see Emma's baptism, because this is what happened during Emma's baptism, according to Wikipedia. Quote, Emma was baptized by Oliver Cowdery on June 28th in 1830 in Colesville, New York, surrounded by a group of mocking people.
The three of us just over there on the
exactly.
pier. All right. So, but Joey like comforts her after her second and third miscarriages. They've got this element in the movie where like every time one of the babies that she writes its name in the Bible or whatever. So we go back to that.
Getting cramped.
It is. She's doing the margins now.
Okay. This Bible is completely full. Every margin full of dead babies by the end of this book, because God is just murdering this family one by one.
Killing the fuck out of these babies.
But luckily though, God was murdering other people too. It turns out that there was another lady on the very same day-ish that her twins died. Another lady died in childbirth, and her husband didn't want the kids, so she gave them to Emma and Joseph to raise as their own. This includes Julia, right? The one that we're telling the story to.
Yeah, in the words of the prophet, dibs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and old Emma comes in to be like, yeah, it was actually a blessing that they died, those babies, if you think. God killed your mom, Julia, during birth,
and
I got you, so...
Yep. So win.
God's awesome.
Really, if you think about it.
And then, like, the movie just wants to get out of the way, and they go, and yeah, also one of those babies died too.
Right. Well, we'll get to that baby diet in a minute. But then we cut into town, right? So we're at this shop in town where some local rabble-rousers are stirring up some anti-Mormon sentiment with their pamphlets and shit.
Oh, we got the... Yeah, this lady is, like... hyping her new Mormonism Unveiled podcast. Like, an Exmo podcast. I liked her character throughout. She was fun.
Yeah.
So we get another one of those moments where they can't actually admit what people's issues with Mormonism were, right? Because Emma comes into the store and this lady confronts her with a pamphlet and she goes, no good will ever come of talk of revelations. And I'm like, well, you like the Bible, though. Like, obviously you don't think that, right? but she can't be, you know, like, your husband is raping our daughters. And, you know, that complicates the movie. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But the podcast lady does explain, like, at the very end, she's like, also, the whole town's going to kill you. What? Nothing?
Yeah, right. Nothing. I see just a pamphlet.
And then we smash cut to the mob coming for Joe. Yeah.
Yes, where they tar and feather him.
Yes, which this movie is very sure is the fucking Stations of the Cross.
Well, every time we watch a fucking Joseph Smith movie, we have to watch this. And they always try to make it look terrible and dramatic, but it's too silly for that because you look like a chicken at the end of it. It's just funny looking.
Babe, do I look stupid right now? It hurts a little bit. Do I look stupid? Yeah.
They're doing like attending to his wounds scenes afterwards. And the movie is going, you see that, everybody? It's pretty hard to get tar off because it's very sticky.
Well, so here's the thing. In tarring and feathering, like, people were very often injured, like, because they put hot tar on them sometimes. That's not what happened to Joseph Smith. But yeah, like, after that, it's a big pain in the ass, right? Like, maybe the solvents you used to get it off could burn you. Like, it could be caustic or something like that. But, like, generally speaking, afterwards, it's just like, it's not like you don't have like huge open lesions like the guys in Chernobyl, right? Like,
it looks like they spread on room temperature tar with like a butter knife, and he had like some little spots.
Yeah, so, rolled them around in some feathers.
And feathers.
Which, hey, you know what? He kind of had it coming. So, but chicken torture or no, Joseph preaches on. The next day, Julia's brother died. Mormonism tries to make it seem like it's the crowd's fault that the baby died. Because the baby had pneumonia and like the door was left open when they grabbed him and tarred and feathered him. And it's like, yeah, but Emma was there, you know, so
people
I don't
were
know.
Refusing to mask up.
A little too heavy for both. I'll just leave that one on the floor.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
He seems fine. That one's coffee as it is. I got a little space in the margins of the book.
So then the brother dies. And then, of course, this backs us out of the flashback long enough for Julia to say, hey, you know what? How about the problem of evil? That's my brother that we're talking about, right? Like, God.
Hey, Julia, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right. Right. Which is old Emma's answer.
What have I been saying this whole time?
Right. She's like, well, you know, God's ways aren't our ways. She's like, oh, God's ways are murdering my baby brother. And she's like, shut the fuck up now.
Way more than your baby brother, Julia. I'll pay attention to the story.
Come on now.
Are we still rolling? Why do we keep keeping these?
And now this is where Brigham Young joins the fold.
It's weird how little of Brigham Young is in the Emma Smith story.
Isn't that strange?
Hey, fellas, did Brigham Young and Emma Smith ever interact in a way
they
that
got along super swell,
young,
right?
They're good friends.
Good buddies. So, and then we get...
how come Brigham Young never is on the podcast anymore?
Get the fuck out.
So, we get all the kids running around with Joseph Smith. He apparently invented jogging. And then, like... Once again, they can't admit what people's actual problems were, right? So we see all the ladies, all the church ladies in the shop complaining about how impious her husband is. But the reason they're like the impiety they're talking about is the way he runs around like a child having such fun, like a scamp, not, you know, raping the children and living off of conning other people and shit.
Yeah, right. The women in town are like, hey, your husband's like fucking idiot prophet. Look at him running around with the kids. And she's like, or maybe only idiots would listen.
That's stuff. So close to the actual fucking line.
Like almost quote. And then the movie was like, mic drop. We're winning right now.
Yes.
The movie was certain of it.
She might as well say crazy like a fox and then walk out.
Right. Right. Because what the lady says is like, you know, your husband says that he was like the word of God was revealed to him at 14 years old. Do you really think God would talk to a 14-year-old? She says, well, maybe only a 14-year-old would listen. And I'm like, why? Right. Like, like at any age, if God shows up, I feel like you'd listen. But. So fucking dumb. So Joey preaches more, which is boring for us, I guess. But I guess like for the Mormon audience watching, it's supposed to be a whole like, can you imagine seeing him back in his small venue days? Oh my God. Like it's supposed to be that moment or whatever.
I remember when it was just Joseph Smith and that couple from that astronomer company. We were watching in a garage somewhere.
Yeah. So, but then there's this moment where, like, I guess Joseph Smith is revealing his desire to build the temple in Kirtland, Ohio. But, of course, women weren't allowed in the meetings. So she has to learn about it when Hiram comes out to get some tea or something mid-meeting, right? But she's worried. She's like, well, that seems really difficult to do and we don't know what we're doing.
And we keep getting angry mobbed. It seems like it's going to be a way. We're going to like build it. Like, and then right away, a mob again. And we have to,
have to run away.
Like making a building for them to sort of focus on seems like a bad plan.
Yep. Yep. But they're like, no, we can do it because Joey's magical. And then there's this weird moment where like Julia prompts the movie to tell us more about Joey's travels, right? She's like, hey, so when you miscarried the next kid, Joey was nowhere to be found, but that's totally normal and cool, right? It wasn't like,
Julia, you're fucking killing me over here. Yes. Okay. Miscarriage. He was gone. That all did happen. But, let me finish. A baby after that did not die one time.
Did live. Yes.
So God nailed it.
You know, they gave me this big list of questions you were going to ask, and I don't remember this one being.
Well, there's a very like, too, she's like, but then the next one lived, and there's a very like, and it was a real baby, not like you and your brother kind of a feel from old Emma's VO at that point. And now, okay, so now some of the church ladies, including pamphleteer lady, are starting to like maybe think there's something to this Mormonism, right?
Yeah. Even the Mormonism exposed podcast lady.
Right. She's into it.
They're hanging out at apparently Pier One Imports of Kirtland, Ohio in 18, whatever.
Or modern day Cracker Barrel, whatever it
it's
might
one
be.
Or the other. Yeah. So, but yeah, and we see all the men folk building the temple. We see Joey doting on Emma to her son. There's this great moment where he's like, yeah, you know, it was your mom that helped my lies be more believable because she kept asking me questions that God would obviously have thought of.
This part I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That she was just like, hey, man, your book's fucking so dumb. You got to retcon a few things. I'll tell you what to do. Here's some lies you can fix a little bit.
Yeah, that's what Doctrines and Covenants is. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And so, of course, all the while, like Emma's big thing is that she's writing the hymn book for Mormonism.
Right.
And so now she's going to sing a bad song just because like they can't do a good song because they're stuck with the shit that Emma actually wrote.
Well, that's the thing, right? If you know anything about Mormon hymns, truly the biggest lie in this movie is what a gifted musical artist Emma Smith.
Yeah.
Even devout Mormons will be like, yeah, no, I mean, the hymns aren't good.
So
we put them on the fridge.
They're in the book.
So Joey tells the kids the bedtime stories about how God will not burn Emma's mom in hell forever for turning down that Book of Mormon. She'll get a second crack at it after she dies. Right? Very important. And then we get the whole temple. It's built now and all the congregants are singing her shitty hymn.
And we see like a bunch of perfect 2x4s with sealant on the ends.
Yep, sure do.
Used to put together this perfect temple.
Yep. Uh-huh. Sure do. So yeah, but now it's all done. They're ready to like inaugurate or whatever the fuck they call it when they like consecrate it or whatever. And we see our first like shot of the pews. And there's like a black dude sitting right behind Emma Smith.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There is a black guy in the crowd shot. I will remind you that the Mormon Church acknowledged that black people have souls in 1977.
I think it's 1978 when they allowed them to have the priesthood. I think they were allowed to have souls way back in like the late 60s. But yeah, there was chance in fucking hell.
No, they were way more woke than you said, Eli.
Yeah.
No, apologies.
Exactly.
Also, in this crazy temple, we see, I'm going to describe it as like a game show set, like a raised pharmacy counter, but like Hollywood squares above that with like spots for each of them ranked.
Right. Like it was a weird, insane reflection of ego going on at the front of that goddamn church. Yeah. But yeah. So, and then we get gardening wisdom. This is where Julia learns about the importance of believing in people through a pumpkin or whatever. Right. That's so fucking dumb.
Oh, and comeuppance for mean podcast lady.
Yes.
Because like now she gets it or whatever. So she's also doing pumpkin shit. And so Emma's like, even the smallest of seeds can grow. It says in the book my husband wrote. And mean podcast lady's like, yeah, no, I was mean in my show. I get it. I'm Mormon now. Oh, okay.
But once the temple was finished, things just got worse People were unhappy there in Kirtland. No reason, no reason at all. So, and it certainly wasn't that Joseph Smith took everybody's money and then started a bank with it and then bankrupted the bank. Then it had nothing to do with that. Everybody was just upset.
Yeah. The movie says that, like, yeah, so everybody kind of got mad even though the temple was there. But Joseph actually called it because he is a prophet. He called it that people would start doubting him. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, it's easy to make a prophecy about angry victims of bank fraud when you're doing the bank
yes,
fraud.
Yes, right. Yes. I foresee me fucking you guys over.
Not the hardest prophecy.
Yeah, but people were leaving left and right. Even Parley Pratt was going to leave for a while. And this is another fucking Marvel movie moment, right? Like where it's like Parley Pratt's going to leave and then she talks him out of it and then he doesn't. And it's like they have introduced and resolved an issue in one fucking minute of movie time. But, you know, this is fucking Parley Pratt. That's fucking Mitt Romney's great, great granddad right there. You right, got to include him.
Just me pointing to someone in Spider-Man Across the Universe. So that Spider-Man's actually from a comic in the 1980s. He wasn't Peter Parker. It's from a different
right,
Ultimate
yeah.
Universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I wrote it down. I did.
So then Emma and Joey, you know, they marvel over the temple they built, but they got to leave now again. No reason. Just
it's literally them standing over their fucking fields of gold. And he's like, we should get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
I saw them. Tar takes a while to heat up, but not like forever. You know what I'm saying?
She,
babe,
she goes, will things be better in Missouri? He goes, you know what would be great? Would be French toast. I'm in the mood for French toast. Are you in the mood? So, but then she, you know, like elderly Emma outside of the flashback waxes poetic about the mighty, mighty Mississippi. Little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very important. And then we cut to Missouri in 1838. And there's this amazing exchange where voiceover Julia goes, well, wasn't Missouri supposed to be the promised land? And Emma, the old Emma, is like, it was, but something went terribly wrong. And I'm like, with God's promise?
Mm-hmm. God is not great at Google Maps. He's more of a MapQuest guy and nobody uses it anymore.
So, yeah. So, but the movie like kind of fast forwards through the time that the Mormons went to war against the state government of Missouri, right?
The sentence they use for that, by the way, is false charges were raised and Joseph was betrayed.
Yeah, yeah, they don't even mention what the false charges, the charges were.
Stolen election.
The charges were plotting to assassinate the governor, which he absolutely fucking did. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie fast forwards for obvious reasons, but it also accidentally makes it kind of funny. It was like, Missouri, 1838, God's new plan, posse on horses coming after
He's
us.
He's in jail. Jail.
Yes, right, right. Well, yeah, it's funny because like at this point, I'm like, wait, was this the time that he tried to assassinate the governor? And I looked it up and it's really hard because like Joseph Smith was arrested apparently 42 goddamn times in the course of his life. So it's hard to pin down.
I actually tried to Google it. There was no answers that were like just about this moment. It was very hard to find.
Yeah, yeah.
ChatGPT's just smoking a cigarette. Do you want to know about the times he wasn't trying to overthrow the government in Missouri?
Exactly,
that
right.
would actually be that would make it easier. A little bit quicker.
This is also where we get a very funny moment. And I'll put this in the notes for our patrons. I'll make sure Tim grabs an image of this. This was the best, worst accidental mistake for the subtitles here.
Yes.
So they're having this very dramatic scene. He's in jail. Remember last Mormon movie month where we did that whole movie about the time he was in jail?
And then he grabbed his way out. I got a weird deja vu. I was like, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I think seven or eight times.
It's the movie in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're having a very dramatic talk during that flashback. And he says, can I get you anything? And she, the actor, goes, huh, huh. And the subtitles on Tubi.com, where we watched this film, thought it was the word hummus. So there's this very dramatic moment of the two of them by candlelight, and the caption just says hummus.
Can I get you anything? Hummus? I can go for some hummus.
The best.
Babe, can I get some pitas, two little pita wedges?
No, I'm not going to eat it with my hands. But she goes, has God forsaken us? And he goes, hummus. curiously doesn't have an answer for that. So then we see the Mormons getting run out of Missouri. He's still in jail. They're moving on to Illinois. And you can tell it's bad because everybody's coughing a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mormons in jail with Joseph are starting to lose faith in him as well, right? Because he's supposed to be magical and he's not helping in any way.
Yeah, and we get a bunch of letters back and forth between Joseph and Emma. Like, while he's in jail, apparently he's, like, getting letters. He's getting all the stationery he needs to send letters to.
Yeah.
And people are very, very serious about the human right of letter writing throughout this moment in history, I guess.
Clearly, yeah. But the letter that he sends is like, he's like, read this to the congregation. Dear the congregation, don't worry. Believe it or not, this is exactly how I drew this play up. This is supposed to happen.
I wrote my notes. All part of the plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've already seen this story a dozen times before, so it's kind of hard to inject any suspense before the break, but I'm going to try anyway. Here we go. Will this movie explore the rift that plural marriage tore in Emma and Joseph's relationship? Will it confront the numerous public denials of Joseph's polygamy she made even after she knew about it? Will it detail the schism after Joseph's death where her opposition to Brigham Young tore the young faith in twain? No. But stick around anyway for the sanitized to the point of dishonesty conclusion of Emma Smith, My Story, asterisk.
Emma went on to be a senator from New York State.
Emma Smith, you have been a true and faithful servant. Welcome to heaven.
Welcome to heaven, Emma.
Oh, well, wait, who are you, child?
Don't you recognize me? I'm your son who died in childbirth.
Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm so glad to see you.
And so am I.
Me too.
Me too.
Wow. I kind of forgot how many of you there are.
And we're just the infants. All the others are here as well.
What a wonderful, wonderful miracle.
And of course, Joseph is here with all his wives.
All of his wives?
Yep.
What'd you say?
Every single one.
Feels like it might get a little crowded.
Indeed it is, Mother. Crowded with love. Together, all 50 plus of us forever and ever and ever.
You know what? I think I might be a little Jewish.
Nice try, Mom. Come on.
They're fuck.
And we're back for still more of the shit. And we're going to rejoin the Momos settling into Nauvoo, Illinois to build their theocracy.
This is God's fourth take at a promised land. They don't even bother to say they moved this time. Yep. They're just like, Nauvoo.
So we're in Illinois now.
You know.
And Joey's back. There's a great moment. She looks behind her and Joey appears in a silhouette and she's like, you got away. And he says, they let us go. And she says, is there more to the story? He goes, nope, that's all there is to the story.
Let us go.
But she says, I shall never cross the Mississippi again. And he's like, well, what if the bulk of the church up and leaves and goes west? She's like, well, I would probably have to like create a schism and just keep my group here.
Okay, to be clear, that is what they are apologizing for absolutely batshit piece of narration.
Yeah.
Right? What they are not saying is that me and Brigham Young had a schism that would split our church directly in half and lead to dozens and dozens of deaths and a war between our two clans.
Right.
She's like, I don't like rivers.
Yep, no. Fucking that's what it is.
Oceans with attitude. That's what I call them.
We see a bunch of mosquitoes. I thought at first they were just there to trigger Eli's misophonia, but apparently they're there for us to know that like Nauvoo, Illinois was a malarial swampland. Because Joseph got really sick at this point.
He did.
Yeah. It's Hebrew for beautiful place, but also malaria.
Malarial, beautifully malarial place. Yeah. And I think we have to establish that it's really malarial because really Joseph Smith's immune system could kick the shit out of almost anything. But, you know, in this instance. But Emma comes to like nurse him to health and joke around about how much they love each other very much and always do, no questions asked, right? So then we see Joseph Smith curing people's diseases with his God magic. Is that what was going on in this next scene?
Yeah.
He's laying on of hands.
I think they wanted to show us as much of it as they could without having to make the claim as the movie. Just like, what? Prophet can't give a few head pats? You are the one
who's assuming he's using anointed oils to cure diseases. So,
you said that.
It turns out an awful lot of Emma Smith's story is her staring lovingly at Joseph Smith. But then we watch, he does more hard manual labor.
Okay. At this point, we are on the third happy building our temple montage. It had to wear thin even for them, right? To have the fucking violins in the background. All right, you know, we get it. We're going to, like, at a certain point, the Mormons must have been like, so same plan as the last one?
Yeah, yeah,
same
plan as the last.
Pass me that shingle from Home Depot with a sticker on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Like Romans setting up their camp at this point now.
Did we have plywood in this moment?
Yeah, no, no. Yeah. We have a lot of press board. So yeah, but then we get the point where Emma finds out that her dad, so when her mom told her that she couldn't come home anymore because of the Mormonism, she gave her a picture, right? And now we see Emma drop the picture because she found out that her dad died.
Yeah. And Joe comes over and he's like, hey, honey, you seem a little down. Do you want me to see if God gives us space families? Feels like you might be cheered up.
You want a space family?
Aww. Yeah. The transition there was great too, because it's Joseph preaching and everybody's happy. And he's like, yeah, God's plan. It's amazing for us. And then literal smash cut to literal pitcher smashing.
Smash.
Emma's dad died. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they glue
still have malaria, I think, too.
They glue the picture back together, though, because they can repair their things. They tell us that her mom died shortly thereafter.
It's a space picture. You get all the free pictures.
Yeah.
You could fix other people's pictures.
There's a fucked up moment.
Hot tub.
She goes, oh, you know, I really just wanted my dad to be proud of me at literally any point in my life. And Joey's like, oh, you know, he'll be proud of you. Dad to him will be proud of you, probably.
He'll learn his lesson in heaven or hell or whatever.
Yeah, he ends up. Yeah, ooh. Right. No, fun fact, basically his last words were, I will never be proud of her because of that shit husband and his bullshit religion, is how his story ends. But yeah, and then her mom died, like, right after her dad.
Yeah, they show the gluing the picture back together and meet, like, while that's happening, it's like, and then my fucking mom died.
Smash!
I thought they were going to drop the picture again.
So. Mom's body comes flying down from the ceiling onto the picture. Oh!
Yeah, and the Julia, the voiceover, she's like, you know, at this point, something inside my mother died from all the grief. And I'm like, well, this was also around the same time that Joey started taking extra wives as well. So maybe that had something to do with...
No,
it was just with mom and dad. She was
really sad about that picture. Nice. Had a cow on it and two fields.
Yep. So, and then her baby gets sick and damn if God doesn't kill another one of her kids.
Okay. They have this fucking insane moment. Are we going to talk about it? Where she's talking to Joe. The kid is sick and she's like, promise me, Joseph. Promise me this child will not die. And Joseph is like,
you want to sing some stuff?
What? So somebody called me from the other room. I have to go and see who is in the other.
As God, I got to go look at the plates you can't see.
Cut to the baby shattering on the floor.
Oh, no.
Babe, should we glue it back together?
Oh, fuck.
I did have a moment of reflection here where the fourth child of the Smiths died, where I was like, it's a good reminder, like, whenever your boomer mom acts out of turn, she is two generations away from when people had 11 kids and four of them died. She might not be doing as bad a
right.
job.
Right, yeah, exactly. That was her grandma that you're talking about. Yeah. So but then we get Joey inaugurating the first Mormon women's club or whatever this is, right? Where he's like, God told me my wife had a very important lady job.
Yeah.
It
was another like, ring, what?
Yeah.
somebody, an elect lady. Oh, my wife, Emma? Yeah, yeah. Emma is in charge of the ladies' auxiliary of Mormonism now.
Yes.
I wanted one lady to be really disappointed she didn't get it. Just, fuck, what are the chances? She's the elect lady and
oh, man. Wow. Maybe next time, God.
So she steps up to give her acceptance speech to God, and that bleeds into her helping old dying people. right? Because of her saintliness.
Yeah.
But then some ruffians, they come to the Smith household with a warrant. So not ruffians exactly, police officers.
Well, you know those ruffians that
essentially U.S. Marshals. That
U.S.
Are like,
Marshals,
you
actually.
You did treason,
is
treason so much.
Yeah. When you escape from jail.
But they're supposed to be like bad guys, but it's like, yeah. That, no, you're just,
right.
You did treason.
Right, because her answer to them is, I was understanding that we are on base.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, not for treason.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, you know, where's your husband? And she's like, well, he's not here. And they're like, why isn't he here? And she's like, no reason that the movie is going to admit. He just is out now.
Busy.
Having prophecy shit.
Not hanging out with fucking Mary Whitner, that bitch. Very close to the
37
children.
Other wives at this point or whatever.
Normal.
So, yeah, but she goes, but they say, like, where are you coming from? She goes, are you quite finished? That's the exact delivery. I've been practicing it. But then we cut to Joey. He's busy having new revelations about who he's allowed to fuck. And we get this moment where, like, late that night, there's a sound at the door and she's like scared. But it turns out it's just Joseph coming and like sneaking in to tell her how much he loves her again more. Right.
Yeah.
There's also like a moment where he's like, I have to give the kids all a blessing. And we get old Julia like backing out of the flashback going, I never knew he came and gave me an unconscious blessing in the night. And I'm like, why would you? It's not, that's nothing. Why would anyone tell you that? So the next morning, Joey has to leave in secret. He's come to the house like to see her. And now he's got to sneak off lest the government that is after him. I think at this point for burning down a printing press in revenge for them printing the truth about him, unless they find him, you know, he doesn't want that to happen.
Right. And he gives her a just in case I die letter and asks her to check the spelling, which to be fair, I do the same thing to Anna every time I leave the house.
Sure,
so I do get
and ask her to check the spelling. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then we get her reading this letter to the congregation and it's fucking banal and pointless because it's a real letter from Joseph Smith. Right. And he never said anything profound in his life, but they're stuck with what he's got. Right. We see a montage here now where like they're doing like whatever the double extra super marriage is.
Yeah. Space marriage.
Space marriage. The death outer space marriage that they do.
Oh,
yeah.
You got to get like doubled up.
I think so. Yeah.
To really, really count.
Well, now it's included in the Mormon marriage ceremony, but that was a con that Joseph ran is he was like, hey, if you're married, you're actually not space married. So September and October are filling up everybody.
Yeah, right. So
you want to book your space marriage? I did just build a temple where you could have it.
You could do a midweek space marriage, but like nobody wants to go to that shit.
So, well, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow. You know, if you guys want a montage that involves marriage and Joseph Smith at this point in the movie, do I have good news for you? But, they leave out the other 30 to 40 here.
They couldn't hire all those kindergartners.
Oh, God.
I get it. It's the child labor laws. No, you can only make them work for like 4 hours.
Fucking seventh graders, please.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. So then the ruffians come for Joseph, right? They're going to take him back to Missouri where he's going to hang for his crimes. There's a moment where Emma comes out and she scream cries Joseph in slow motion. And it looks just silly as all hell.
Yeah.
I had to mention that because people who watched along would be disappointed if I didn't. She weeps inconsolably as they take him away to prison.
I don't know about you guys. Did you watch this on Tubi as well?
I paid $1.99 not to have to watch commercials.
Not to have to watch it on Tubi. Okay, at this point, Tubi was having some kind of frenzy where they were showing me the Billy Bob Thornton T-Mobile commercial every, I'm going to say 6.5 seconds. And if you haven't seen that, I promise this is related to our watching in the film. The commercial is Billy Bob Thornton apparently lost in a field being like, they used to kick our ass at cell phone service, but these days Verizon could suck my ass. Suck my ass. I'm Billy Bob Thornton. And it was crazy because it was always apropos to what was going on in the movie. So what happened is like he gets dragged away and she's like, Joseph. And then Billy Bob Thornton is like, motherfucking goddamn Jew lovers over at Verizon. I'll fight every one of them. I lost my car.
So, yeah. Yeah, well, you know. So then, okay. So then old Emma gives grown-up Julia more river-based wisdom. Or actually, I'm sorry, she gives her the same river-based wisdom, but she words it differently and thinks we're not going to notice. Yeah. Right?
Mom, you already used the river as a metaphor.
You can't keep doing that. And then Julia goes, hey, Dad did be fucking a bunch of other ladies, though, right?
Julia, I swear to fucking God. You're out of the movie.
So wait, Heath doesn't live in the house with his new wife? Shut up, Julia.
But Jay, like, look.
They have room for activity. They see each other all the time.
It's a pied-à-terre. In Ann Arbor.
So I guess what's good, because like I didn't expect that they would touch the plural marriage thing at all, but I guess we have to see Emma being okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? Which, to be clear, she was not okay with it. And never at any point remotely
okay. She was not okay with it in writing.
Yeah, right, exactly. On paper in several instances, yeah. But in this movie, Julia's like, well, you know, like, Ma, did that, like, bother you? And she's like, yes, it bothered both of us. Me and Joseph both hated that he had to have sex with all those other women. Yeah. We hated it.
First, Emma says, we don't talk about it. And then Julia's like, okay, but we're the fucking narrators. You have to.
She goes, I don't speak of it, but I never ignored it. And I'm like, but that's what ignoring means, is not speaking of it. Though that's what that word is now.
Also, you spoke of it extensively.
Yes.
First of all, you wrote a bunch of letters being like, fucking quit it, to Joe. And then people were like, hey, is your husband married to a bunch of people? And you were like, no.
What? Not at all. No.
He didn't, but they land on like, he got commanded by God, and of course he obeyed. We were having this fight about the dishes, and then he was like, what's that? Magic Hat rocks more wives? Okay, I guess I'll have to do it. God said,
very unhappy. Yes. And then we cut to like Joey telling Emma about his impending death, right? Because like, again, like this is very common in the Mormon rewriting of history, that we have to make Joseph seem like a willing martyr, you know, that walked to his death much like Jesus did, which makes it really weird that he shot back. But okay.
He's still doing the St. Peter thing. Yeah! Nobody told me we weren't doing backfighting.
Yeah. So in the flashback, we got Joseph talking to Hiram. They're about to like go to Carthage to turn themselves in. And he's confessing his undying and unrivaled love to Emma, and just Emma.
Just Emma.
Only woman in his life. And then they're like, you know, they have the whole like, are you scared to go to the thing? And he's like, no, because I'm a willing martyr in this telling of it, which makes it really weird that I'm bringing my brother along with me. Jesus Christ, I'm evil in their telling too, huh? But then we see like we see a moment where like she's staring at the picture, like she's loading it up for his death scene.
I'm going to spike this thing on the floor so hard when I find out he's dead.
Yeah.
Also, they capture in this parting scene between them, they capture this great moment from Mormon history that I cannot believe they tried to play off as this great romantic moment, because this is true. Emma said to Joseph right before he left for Carthage, will you bless me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you write it and I'll sign it.
Right.
Which is the least romantic thing.
It's the gave her cash as a gift version of a blessing.
Do you want to tell me what you want?
Actually, the card and you sign it for me. Whatever. Right. You can say whatever you want.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. She's like, she's like, I should get a blessing, shouldn't I? He's like, right. You should write a good one for you.
Can't give my wives all for, what, so I gotta give all my wives a blessing now? Yeah, most of them want like animal crackers and Paw Patrol.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But then he goes off to die. The old Julia outside of the flashback sure wishes that her dad didn't die. And then the fucking movie tries to play up, it tries to give us the same old lady wisdom again, acting like it didn't. Right? Because this is the whole time where she's like, you know, I wish I had your strength, Mom. And Emma goes, strength isn't something you have. Strength is something you find.
You already used that one, Mom, like so recently. Exact same one.
God damn it, Julia, you're out of the podcast.
But also, like, things that you find are things that you have once you found them, right? Like, strength isn't something you have, something you find. Well, then you would have it once you found it, wouldn't you? That's not an either or type of situation. Okay.
Some.
times your god of strength is something you don't know you have because someone sneaks it into your pocket.
And then we get Emma like reading, like young Emma actor and old Emma actor are sort of tag teaming reading the blessing that they wrote that Joey signed. And we're getting that over the shots of Joey getting killed.
Yeah. And they're very much the blessing you would write if you knew your husband wasn't magic, but you also knew that he had started a church that would eventually canonize this letter as an actual right. thing blessed by the prophet. It's like, I'd like to be happy
and super duper Mormon. I want to believe Mormonism really hard.
The ups and downs, the ins and out, the facts of life, and there you have. Come and step.
The magical power of eat, pray, love.
Yeah, right, myself, right.
I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour.
But then we watch old Julia seeing old Emma walking into the light, you know, which I guess Julia died first or something. I don't know. They go into a big weird thing where they're like, Julia got cancer in 1880 and died. And we're like, who fucking cares about Julia?
Yeah. Why did they feel the need to be like, oh, Julia also died relatively prematurely?
Yeah, right.
Julia got side tackled out of the movie.
Yeah, right, right. They show pictures of all her kids, the ones that didn't die in childbirth, right? So that we could see like who's in the margins of their Bible now. And then we learn that when Emma died, her last words were, Joseph, Joseph, I'm coming.
Yeah. Only time she ever said it.
Yep, probably.
Also a quote from two other wives at the same time at one point.
And of course,
probably not though.
Despite the fact that this is the actual point where the Emma Smith story gets very interesting, the movie's over now, right? Never mind what happened after that, what she thinks of the church that funded the making of this film. No, the story's over at this point, and we don't have to do it.
University, not a big deal.
Yeah, right. And well, that's going to do it for our review of Emma Smith, My Story. That's not going to do it for the episode just yet, because we still need to predict what we're going to be watching next. We're not 100%. On that all the time. But Eli, tell us, to the best of your knowledge, what's on deck?
Okay, first of all, Sons of Provo was a mockumentary.
No, they were it would have been terrible. The joke. It would have been terrible.
It would have just been us going, you are, for an hour. A devout Christian woman tries to warn others that the end times are coming and an evil organization is conspiring to control the entire world. We'll be watching 1981's... Early Warning.
Oh, back when a film was a film. So, okay. So with that to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 517 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to all the Patreon donors that help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help a ton by leaving us a 5-star review and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D Minus, and The Skeptic Crit, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Tim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick, Bill Dress on Mars. All the other music was written and performed by our audio engineer Morgan Clark and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bostick, I'm No Illusions, promise to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
God remained angry at the Mormons and he killed Paul Walker.
Oh,
Brian O'Connor, R.I.P.
Emma went on to start a rival Mormonism with no beer and no hookers. It pretty much failed.
Joseph Smith's space family planet was extremely crowded between Joseph and all his wives and all his children. Fucking rules.
It's all a 9-year-old telling you a lie. That's the thing about Mormonism, right?
You'll like, never convince me Mary Whitmer isn't Jewish.
Like Catholicism is like a grown-up telling you a lie, right? At least, you know? But Mormonism, because like with Catholicism, like it's like they're trying to confuse you with the Trinity and it's like quantum bullshit at a certain point or whatever. But
and
with
it's Mormonism, centuries of grown-ups to like hold
yeah, yes, the line. Well, right, yeah. exactly. But with Mormonism, it's just like, no, because you can't. When you look, I'm visible, but when you don't look, I can fly.
I can't fly.
stupid.
Sorry.
Fuck you, Jimmy.
And Mary just yes-anded herself into Mormon history.
Yep. Yep.
Smart.
Well done, Mary. All right. Interstitial 3.
Heath would have made it into the Definitely Book of Mormon Jewish. If he wanted to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Me. I am. Oh, sorry. I lost my train of thought. I'll get there.
Leave this in. You have dementia.
I do.
Oh, it could be that. Could be that, yeah. This content is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm at their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.